Does the government have the right to ask you about your sexuality? The 2021 National Census could contain specific questions for the first time about whether people are gay or transgender. The journalist Andrew Pearce, who came out when he was 22, says it's none of the state's business and he'll risk breaking the law by refusing to answer. He's with us now. Andrew, good morning to you.
Morning to you.
Good morning. John O'Doherty, Director of the Rainbow Project's with us too. Morning, John.
Morning, Stephen.
So Andrew, if you came out, why wouldn't you put it on a form?
Look, why does the state need to go into my bedroom? Because frankly, that's what it's all about. The census is supposed to marry up the provision of services to the population. So, for instance, as a gay man, as I wrote in my piece in the Mail, if I'm involved in a road accident, does it make any difference whether I'm gay or straight as to whether there's an accident in the emergency department up the road? If I'm gay and I have children with my partner, it makes no difference to the provision of services, because my concern would be, are there decent schools? Is there public transport? Exactly the same concerns of heterosexual parents. It's just information that will be flogged to people like Google, to market research companies, and I don't want to be part of a marketing exercise. It's also, Stephen, yet another attempt by Mr. Cameron to be all touchy-feely and politically correct. He did it with same-sex marriage, and now he's trying to establish how many gays are in Britain. We know how many there are. There's been an agreed figure of 6%, according to Whitehall, and yet when there was a voluntary survey done in 2014 of how many gay people there are, this is a survey specifically about people's sexual identity, only 1.6% admitted to being gay. Because people are too shy, they don't want to put their sexual identity on a form, and a lot of gay men and women still live privately without anybody at all knowing why they're gay. Why is the government trying to out them?
John?
Well, I think it's a fundamental right, Stephen, to be counted, and LGBT people deserve the right to be counted as well. And I think the question's hard to be answered. It's about the provision of services to communities, and to understand the size of communities and the placement of communities. Census data is so important. What we know is LGBT people experience poor mental health outcomes, poor physical and sexual health outcomes as well. We know that people are invisible and that they're isolated, but we also know that there's a severe, particularly in Northern Ireland, a severe under-resourcing of LGBT organisations and LGBT services. So it is important that we understand how many people are out there. Yes, there are those who will not want to share their sexual orientation or gender on census data, and they should have the right not to. But for those of us who are happy to be counted, who want to be reflected and want to be known as who we are, then we should have the right to have that recorded and recognised within census data. We had the same issue here in Northern Ireland.
Well, I don't think Andrew's arguing against you having the right to, but he's arguing against you being forced to.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's being forced to. I think the option will be there. I prefer not to answer if people choose not to answer that question.
Well, that's not the case. You're required to, Andrew. Am I wrong on that?
I said, well, that's what our understanding is. The Office of National Statistics want to know if how many gay people there are and how many transgender people there are. And I just simply, I'm not going along with it. It's none of their business. And in that box, I'm going to say, mind your own business. I'm out and proud. And I hear what your guest is saying about provision of services, but I think it's a bit of an old-fashioned idea to think that actually we need to know much more about how many gay people are because of sexual issues. Are people still saying it's only gays who get HIV and sexual diseases? Actually, if you look at the incidence and rise of HIV, it's a bigger problem now in the straight community than it ever has been in the gay community. It's a very old-fashioned point of view.
Again, I never said sexual issues. I said sexual health outcomes, physical health outcomes.
Well, that's the same thing.
Mental health outcomes. Well, sexual health outcomes have a lot more to do than just HIV. It's about people's understanding, people's ability to form relationships, and a range of other issues as well. But the idea that because you don't like the data that's being asked, that you're not going to bother completing the census is like saying, I'm not going to vote in an election because there are candidates standing that I don't agree with. The option should be there for people to complete it and to have themselves counted and recognise if that is something that they choose to do.
It's just Big Brother, frankly. It's just another layer of pointless bureaucracy by a government that should have far more important things to do than counting how many gays there are, how many lesbians, how many bisexuals.
The census is being run specifically to ask these questions.
The question, are you heterosexual?
That we're already doing. Why don't we try and get the most we can out of it?
Well, I just think it's completely pointless. And the other thing is, they will abuse the information. You just know if you fill that form in, at some point you will then be getting bombarded with all these unsolicited mail drops, and they'll say we're gay friendly companies. I don't want to be part of that. I don't want.
Well, I think that's a data protection and something that actually should be addressed. Even if we look at Northern Ireland, after 98, when we introduced monitoring here and we started asking people about their community background, whether they came from a Catholic or a Protestant community, there was outrage. People couldn't believe that we were going to be asking this data. When we complete a monitoring form today, we don't even consider taking that box or not taking that box, because it's become part of our standard practice. And looking back at previous research which is done, which rightly only 1.6% identified as having a minority sexual orientation, that's because we don't ask these questions. We don't provide people an opportunity to record the sexual orientation or gender identity. And it goes way beyond just the census. The census is only part of this. But when I'm accessing services, I have the right to have my sexual orientation or gender recorded, not just on the basis of who's accessing those services, but in relation to outcomes as well. Are services working to meet my needs? If a service doesn't understand what my needs are, what my community identity is, how can they ever know if their services are appropriate for a particular
community? But the point is, it's pointless because the conclusions that will be reached by the census will be inaccurate, because I said that voluntary survey that was done of gay people in 2014, the conclusion was there are 1.6% people who identify themselves as gay, and yet in Whitehall, for all the working provision which you're referring to, they say the number is 6%. So people will either lie or not put the information down at all. So what's the point of it? It's a completely pointless tick-box exercise.
So what do you think at home? Do you care if you're asked whether you're gay or straight by the government in a census? 0-30-30-80-55-55. Andrew Pearce, thank you. Morning to you. John Doherty, good morning. John, before you go, your reaction in terms of your position in the Rainbow Project, or director of the Rainbow Project, the appointment of Paul Given as Communities Minister. He's responsible for issues including gender and sexual orientation policy.
Yeah, well, I think the proof in the pie is going to be eating in this one, Stephen. We've contacted Minister Given. We've asked for a meeting. We're hoping to engage with him. Unfortunately, during the conscience clause debate, we find it very difficult to engage with Paul Given. But we are hopeful that he will take his responsibilities as minister.
What do you want from him?
Well, we would like to see move in a sexual orientation strategy. We've had two broken promises from previous Northern Ireland executives over the last two mandates. Promising us a sexual orientation strategy, it has still not been achieved. That's something that we hope the minister will take
very seriously.
But what
do you want from that strategy? A strategy that says what?
We want to see a cross-departmental strategy with clear actions to address the identified inequalities within our community.
What inequalities?
Mental health inequalities obviously being key, invisibility, isolation, the lack of services designed for LGBT people, the lack of recognition of LGBT people within key services. So there's a range of actions we would love to see the minister taking, and we hope to engage with him, and we hope that's something that will continue to happen. The Minister for Communities, also known as the Minister for Everything Else, will have a key role in working with every department on a range of different issues, including race, including gender, and including sexual orientation. There is a lot of very excellent departmental staff there who have worked with us.
You're in for same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland's up the spout now. Isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that question, rather than being a ministerial-based question, I think the question to the DUP is their intention to use the petition.
I'm not talking about Paul Given there. I'm talking about the Assembly results. The DUP have a massive vote now. They'll block it.
Well, what we've seen is 59 MLAs who support equal marriage being returned to the Northern Ireland.
The DUP have now the clout, the mandate majority to use a petition of concern. It was Simon Hamilton who said in this programme just a number of weeks ago that, yes, he would envisage the party using that petition of concern again in terms of same-sex marriage. So, you know, it's gone for the foreseeable future, isn't it? The prospect of it.
I think it's really unfortunate that the DUP have said that they're going to use a petition of concern. And I think, again, it's something we're going to have to wait and see. But I think for the people of Northern Ireland, when they see a majority of people, 59 MLAs, voting in support of an issue and that being vetoed by the DUP, I think people will have a lot of questions to ask about the future of the petition of concern. What's the point in having an assembly if its majority view isn't counted?
The people were asked the question, who do you want to vote for? And a lot of them voted for the DUP. DUP's sitting pretty now.
Yeah, and no one can deny the mandate that the DUP have. Is that mandate specifically on equal marriage? Is it specifically on the petition of concern? Time will tell, and we need to see how people respond to what I believe is an abuse of power in the use of the petition of concern. But I do believe that in the next 5 years, we will see equal marriage introduced in Northern Ireland.
John McLaughlin, thank you very much indeed. The 10 o'clock news comes next.